Bible calls him blind Bartimaeus. He wasn't blind after this day, that when he came into the presence of Jesus Christ, his blindness physically and spiritually was lifted. He wasn't only healed physically with his blindness, but he was also given hope of eternal life. And so spiritually, he was given a whole different vision and a whole different light. And that's what happens in our life when we could say we were blind, but now I see. Before salvation, you were blind. You were blind to the things of God. You couldn't see anything about the Lord or what he was all about. Probably it didn't make any sense to you whatsoever. It probably was even nonsense to you, possibly, before being saved. But once you're saved, you get a whole different vision. You get a whole different like. You get a whole different love. You get a whole different desire. You have a desire to grow spiritually in your life. And so there's a radical change that takes place Amen. In the life of an individual. We see that a little bit in the life of Bartimaeus. We read his story in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke. That's not mentioned in John. John 9 is a whole different individual, as far as we know. There in John 9, I love the chapter of John 9 about that blind man that received sight. But this is a different one. This is Bartimaeus. Now, in Matthew's account, it talks about two blind men. And in Luke and Mark and Luke, there's only the one named. The other blind man, I don't doubt the Word of God. I don't certainly question the Word of God. And I don't sit there and say, there's a mistake there. Look, two guys in Matthew, but only one in Luke and Mark. No. This one, Bartimaeus was the prominent of the two. Bartimaeus was the one named in Scripture. There's a lot of people not named in Scripture. So don't look at that and read that and say that there's a mistake in the Bible. Remember, there's not one mistake in all the Word of God. You read any book by man, and I'm sure you'll find a mistake. But in the Word of God, you'll never find a mistake. You'll never find a contradiction. Never. There are things that seem like it may be a contradiction, but there is never a contradiction in the Word of God. The Bible explains itself. The Bible defines itself. Words are defined within the Bible. We just have to understand that. In Mark chapter 10, I was giving you a few minutes to relax. Now you can stand as we read verses 46 to the end of the chapter. Mark 10, 46. If you can stand. If you can't stand, don't feel guilty for not. I'm not going to ask you, Elijah, to stand, so you sit right there. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. I'll read it out loud. You follow along. You don't need to read it out loud. I'll do that. You just follow along. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's pray. Father, thank you again that we can gather together today. Bless the message. Bless the Word of God as we look at this passage of Scripture and this particular subject. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you would save the lost. And also, Lord, if there's anybody in this room or listening that has backslidden and drifted away from you, we pray through the Word of God and the Spirit of God that those individuals or that individual might come back to you again. Lord, we need revival, not only in this church, but in this land. And so we know and we pray for that revival. Lord, we pray that you would just bless and move amongst us today. And we pray that you would bless the word as it goes forth. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Remember this. I heard somebody say this the other day. I don't remember exactly who said it, but if America is going to be great again, it has to be born again. Amen. That's the only way to make America great again, is it has to be born again. Bartimaeus lived in Jericho, 5 miles west of the Jordan River, 7 miles north of the Dead Sea. Jericho was 800 feet below sea level. Jericho is considered one of the oldest cities in the entire world. At one time, people thought that it was the oldest city. But there's been some other excavations that have shown some other cities to be even older than Jericho. But it is considered one of the oldest cities in the world. The problem with Jericho is a cursed city. You go back to Joshua chapter 6. Go over to Joshua chapter 6. And Joshua literally placed a curse on Jericho. It was such a bad city. Take a look at Joshua chapter 6 and look at verse 26. Joshua chapter 6, verse 26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof, and his firstborn and in his youngest son shall be set up the gates of it." And so this city was a cursed city. So Jericho was not known for its goodness, even though around Jericho, it's called the city of palm trees. It's like an oasis in a desert. It is a beautiful place. I mean, we went there a number of years ago, and the fruit in that area was incredible. Just to see the fruit, the oranges and the grapefruits and all of the things that we could see, it was a very, it didn't look like a cursed city, but in the eyes of God and Joshua, it is a cursed city. Jesus came to this cursed city for the salvation of souls. I say souls, plural, because in Luke chapter 19, go over to Luke 19, we read about another individual at the same time that received salvation also. Luke chapter 19, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was of the chief among the publicans, for he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw him, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Jesus said unto him, listen to this. "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." And so Zacchaeus literally made that bold statement. "I'm going to give everything I have, half of all my goods I'm going to give to the poor. And if I have done anything by any false reasons, if I have taken any money in a false way, I will restore it fourfold." And that's when Jesus made his statement. Salvation has come to this house. This guy had proof of his salvation. He wasn't just saying he was saved. He was acting like a saved man. So during this time in Mark 10 and here in Luke 19, not only was Bartimaeus saved, but so was Zacchaeus saved. Completely different on the ends of the spectrum of when it comes to the needs or the ability that the people have. Bartimaeus was a beggar. Zacchaeus was a rich man. Jesus met both their needs. Doesn't matter if you're poor materially or financially. It doesn't matter if you're rich, if you've got all kinds of money and all kinds of goods and all kinds of things. Jesus came to save anybody at any time, no matter where it is. And so he can save the poor, which he did, and he can save the rich, which he did. And so what a blessing that is. Jesus literally came to a cursed world for what purpose? To save sinners. Remember, Jericho was a cursed city, a cursed area. Jesus enters into that as he comes and he goes fairly quickly. He didn't hang around there very long. But he was there with enough time to save at least two people that we know of. At least two people, this blind Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus. And then he left. It's kind of like the picture of what he did with this world. He came to a cursed world, didn't stay very long, but stayed long enough to do exactly what he had to do, to die on a cross, to shed his blood, to perform his miracles, to prove that he was God. Proved it. And so Jesus came to this cursed city, but he also came to this cursed world for the lost. I'm so grateful and thankful that Jesus Christ came for me and for you. Because you and I were cursed too. We've been cursed by sin. We inherited the sin, not by choice, but we inherited our sin from Adam, from our father. Whoever your father was, you inherited that sin nature. It's been given to us down since Adam. And so we are in that situation. And we live in a cursed world. This world, like the beauty or not, and there's a lot of beauty out there, it's still a cursed world. When I think of the beauty around that we see, I say, Lord, I can't imagine what the millennial reign is going to be when the curse is lifted. How much more beauty we're going to see. What an amazing place this is going to be when Christ comes and sets his feet upon this world and rules and reigns from Jerusalem, this entire world. It's going to take Jesus only to straighten this mess out that we see all over, not just in America, but all around the globe. I want to give you four things here in Mark chapter 10. We'll take a look at this quickly as we go through these things. I want to talk about today mercy with Bartimaeus. Mercy. Because that's what you see in the story with Bartimaeus is mercy. Mercy, number one, mercy is needed. Look at verse 47 again of our text, Mark chapter 10, verse 47. Mercy is needed. This is the first thing we'll look at. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have what? Mercy on me. What was Bartimaeus asking for from the Lord? He was asking for mercy. So mercy was needed in the life of Bartimaeus. Let me ask you a question. Probably I would be safe. I think we'd be safe to say 99% of the time or in a situation that Bartimaeus was blind until his death. Would you say probably yes? Unless Jesus came along. And this man's only hope, he knew it, his only hope was Jesus of Nazareth. His only hope was the mercy that Jesus could shed upon this man. That was his only hope. Your hope and my hope, our only hope for eternity is the mercy of God. Amen. You have no other hope other than God's mercy. And so he was blind. He couldn't enjoy the light. He couldn't enjoy beauty. He couldn't enjoy seeing anything around. He was completely blind. He had no clue, as far as I know, what things look like. You know, there's two kinds of blindness. There's guilty blindness. We'll talk about just briefly about that. Guilty blindness. Isaiah, go over to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42 and verse 6. Isaiah 42 and verse 6. Isaiah 42 and verse 6 and verse 7. There is a guilty blindness. Isaiah 42 and verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Now, I believe this is a spiritual thing that Isaiah is talking about here. There are people today that are blind. They're blind to their need of mercy. Bartimaeus was not. He was not blind to his need of mercy. He realized that he needed God's mercy. He was not blind to that. But there are people today, you might even know some, you might have family members that are blind when it comes to the need of God's salvation, the Lord's salvation. They're blind to that. They can't see. They have blinders on. We know that the God of this world hath blinded their minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so the God of this world, Satan, has blinded minds around this globe. And there are people today that are blind to spiritual things. It is a blindness that they just can't see the gospel light. Have you ever given somebody the gospel? Have you ever invited somebody to church, even given out a gospel tract? Or talked to them about Jesus Christ? And you can sense that their blindness, their rejection. They don't want to hear. They don't want to acknowledge. They don't want to realize that they have a tremendous need for mercy. And so there's this blindness. There is this blindness that people have today. But secondly, there is a God-honoring blindness. You say, what do you mean by a God-honoring blindness? Blind to the attractions of the world. Boy, do we need Christians today that are blind to the attractions of this world. We are, listen, folks, be honest, we are sucked in by this world. We are constantly being tempted by the world to buy things, to do things, to go places, to enjoy the pleasures of life. We are always constantly being bombarded in this way. And so we need a God-honoring blindness. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." We need Christians today that are blinded to the lust of the flesh and the lust and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. We need people that are willing to close their eyes when they know it's not right to look at something. We need people that are willing to close their minds to the things that the world is offering to us constantly. We need some God-honoring blindness today. Blind also to the temptations of the devil. We not only have the world constantly at us, but we have the temptations of the devil. Jesus had the temptations of the devil himself in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. And yet, was Jesus blinded by the things that the devil was offering him? Yes, he didn't pay any attention to it. He quoted scripture to the devil to make it very clear to the devil that he was not going to be tempted by Satan himself. So he was blinded to the temptations of the devil. It doesn't mean that he wasn't tempted. He was tempted. You and I will be tempted by the devil. But we need to be blinded to those temptations where we can say no to those temptations. And then we need to be blind to self-ease and pleasure. See, the flesh. The flesh is with us all the time. And we need to be blinded to those self-ease, the things of self-ease and pleasure. We have a problem with ourselves. We not only have a problem with the world and the devil, we can blame a lot of things on the devil, but most of it is your problem, my problem. It's my fault, not somebody else's fault. It's not always the devil's fault. It's my fault. I haven't blinded my eyes to some of the things that maybe I should blind my eyes to. And so we need to have a good blindness, a God-honoring blindness. I hope and pray there's nobody listening. I hope and pray there's nobody here that has blinded their minds and their hearts to the things of God, to the things of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is tapping upon your heart. And if He's tapping upon your heart, if He's convicting you of your sin and your lost condition, then say yes to Him. Stop saying no. Stop rejecting. Stop, you know, putting up the fence, the wall, the blindness. You're blinded by these things. And we need to realize how important it is. Eternity is a long time to spend in hell. Very long time to spend in hell. Be honest with yourself. That's one place you don't want to go. You don't have buddies and friends that you're going to be able to spend and have a good time with. That's not the way it is in hell. You don't find that anywhere in Scripture. It's a place where once you, if you go there, you don't ever want one other soul ever to enter there. The Bible makes it very clear in Luke chapter 16. Getting back to Bartimaeus, go back to our text. Lost my place already. Mark 10. Not only was he blind, but he was poor. Look at verse 46. He was very poor. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, he was blind, we see that, sat by the highway side begging. He was poor. Now, he was poor in many ways. Two major ways. He was poor spiritually, but he was also poor materially. He didn't have enough food to feed himself. His only way of income was to sit there and beg for somebody to come along and give him something at all. That's how they survived in those days. If you were poor, you pretty much survived that way. Sad way to live, amen, is to have to beg to sit on a highway side, sit on a curb, sit downtown somewhere and just, you know, with a pan out or a hat out or something and have to beg for other people to take care of you. But that's how Bartimaeus was. A blind person didn't have any opportunity to work. He didn't have SSI or SSDI or all of those other things. He didn't have the government programs that could help him and take care of him and give him a place to live and food on his table and take care of his needs. He didn't have that. His means was simply to beg and ask for somebody else to give him something so he could survive. He was poor. A person without Jesus Christ is eternally poor. Very poor. Somebody without Christ is extremely poor. You breathe your last breath without Jesus Christ, you're going to spend eternity in hell. That's poor. That's poor. The richest man in the world could have all of his needs, she, whoever it is, they could have everything given to them. And if they die without Christ, your riches will not matter beyond death. Beyond that last breath, once, listen, it doesn't matter how much money you have, your money cannot keep you alive forever. You may be able to get some good medical help. You may be able to spend a lot of money and get all the stuff you need. It may sustain you for a while, but you will not ever. You're gonna die someday. You're gonna leave this planet someday, and you're gonna go somewhere someday. Where are you gonna go? Heaven, I hope. Bartimaeus was a very poor man. Literally, physically, he was poor. He was hopeless in his situation. His only hope was for somebody to come by and drop a shekel, drop some kind of money, give him something, give him a piece of bread, maybe a little bit of water, something to just keep him going for another day. He lived that way every day of his life. I said this in Sunday school. We don't know what that's like for the most part. Some people may have gone through that, but for the most part here in America, we don't really know what that's like. We have somebody, or the government will step right in and take all kinds of care. They'll just send you a check or whatever. This man was hopeless. He was destined to die blind. That's where he was headed, just to die blind. But thank God Jesus Christ walked by that day. Thank God he went out of his way to go down to Jericho and walk through Jericho and save Bartimaeus and save Zacchaeus. Thank God he was there that particular day. And Bartimaeus knew exactly who it was when he heard the commotion that Jesus was going to pass by. Thank God that Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by your way one day. Whenever it was, whenever you got saved, Jesus passed by. And he, you know what he saw with you? He saw a blind person, blind spiritually. He saw a poor person, poor spiritually. When he passed by, he took care of all of your spiritual needs that you would ever, ever need. Thank God that Jesus Christ passed by your way one day. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What's the day of salvation? It's now. It's not next week. You don't wait till next week, next month, next year. Today is the day of salvation. Do you have any guarantee that you're going to see beyond today? You don't have any. You don't have that guarantee at all. You have no idea how much longer you have on this planet. You need to do something for Christ now while you have the opportunity. Amen. You need to come to Christ if you're not saved. Get saved. So the first thing we see about Bartimaeus is the mercy was needed. He needed something. Spiritually, there are many today. There are billions of people today that need something spiritually. Amen. That their only hope and their only help is Jesus Christ. He will pass by in your life. Listen, he passes by in every single life of all human beings sometime in their life. And if you die without Jesus Christ and you get to the great white throne judgment, I believe the Lord is going to let you know exactly when he passed by you. And you may have ignored him. You may have said, no, I'm not ready. It's not time. I've got too much time. I've got too many things I want to do. I've got too many places I want to go. I've got too many things I want to buy. I've got too much enjoyment in my life. I don't have time right now to get saved. The Lord is going to let you know when he came by, like he did with Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus. And so the Lord's going to let you know when that is before you spend eternity in a lake of fire. You will know. You will have no excuse. There are no excuses when it comes to eternity. None at all. He gives everybody the same opportunity. Remember, Bartimaeus had the same opportunity as Zacchaeus. All they had to do is acknowledge Jesus Christ and accept Jesus Christ and be saved, and they both were. So we see that mercy was needed. Secondly, we see in verses 47 and 48, mercy asked. Mercy is asked. in verse 47. Again, the last four words, have mercy on me. Mercy is extremely necessary. Look at Luke, just go over to Luke again. Look at Luke 18 this time though. Look at Luke 18. I want to show you something. In verse 13. Luke 18, 13. You know the two that went down into the temple to pray? The Pharisee and the publican? Look what the publican says. He makes a seven word. This is the, you want to talk about a sinner's prayer. Here's a sinner's prayer right here. In Luke 18, 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, the next seven words, God be what? Merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And so mercy is the very first necessity when it comes to getting saved. You have to recognize the fact that you need mercy. You need Jesus Christ. You don't need man. You don't need religion. You don't need church. You need Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, well, I have religion. I'm a member of a church. I've been baptized in a church. I belong to a church. I go to this particular church and we do wonderful things at that particular church. Wonderful. But the church doesn't save you. A whole bunch of rules and regulations don't save you. It's Jesus Christ that saves you. He's the only way. He's our only hope. He's our only help. Bartimaeus recognized it that day when he asked for mercy. When he says there in that verse 47 back in Mark 10, he simply said those four words, have mercy on me. Have mercy. So mercy is needed. Mercy is asked. Boy, aren't you glad for mercy? Mercy. Mercy is one of the greatest things that God has given to us. Grace and mercy, those two things. God has given to us. He showed his mercy upon Bartimaeus. He showed his mercy upon Zacchaeus. He showed his mercy upon me. He's shown his mercy on you. That God would be willing to forgive all and send his only begotten son to save anybody. Is that mercy? Amen. That's mercy. That is the merciful God that we serve today. That he is so willing to save a world of lost sinners. Sinners that sin great things. Amen. Sinners that do horrible things. He can save anybody. He can save from any sin. There's not a sin too big that God can't save from. There's not a sin too big that you have done or you may do or whatever. Or you might say, oh, God can't forgive me. I've sinned too great. No, there's not a sin that he can't save. His blood is shed for all. He can cleanse any sin. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can he save the worst sinner around? Yeah, if he can save you and me, he can save the worst sinner around. Remember what Paul said. Paul said he was the chief sinner. He said, I'm the greatest. There's not a sinner greater than me. And if God could save the Apostle Paul, he can save anybody. But we need to equate ourselves with what Paul says. I'm the chief sinner around here. You ought to be able to say that too. I'm the chief sinner around here. I'm the chief sinner in this world. That's what Paul said. That's what Paul thought. He was literally humbling himself, realizing that God's mercy was poured out upon him. The mercy that God has given to us, to be willing to forgive all and to send his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and me, shows his mercy. That God could save a sinner is his mercy. That God would be willing to then use us after salvation is showing his mercy to us. Okay, saving us is one thing, God. All right, thank you for that. But then using us to pass out a gospel tract, using us to witness to somebody, using us to preach or teach God's word, using us in the nursery, using us in a children's ministry, using us to do something for you, God. You know what that is? The mercy. It's mercy. That God would be willing. Let me just throw this out again. It's one of these rhetorical questions that you know the answer to. But can God use anybody that he saves? I believe he can. I believe that he can save anybody that is willing. He can use anybody that's willing to be used. Now, the thing is if you're not willing to be used, how can God use you? That puts an end to that being used. But it doesn't mean that that has to be forever. God can use anybody that's willing to be used, and it's only by His mercy that He can do that. He could have sent all of His angels down to this world to evangelize and to preach and to teach and to do all of the great things that God would want us to know about Him. He could have done that. He could have done that if He chose to do that. He didn't do that. He's using men and women. He's using teenagers. He's using boys and girls today to spread His word and spread, get the gospel out. That's who He's using. And that shows His mercy that He would be willing to use you and I. You might think you're the most handsome or the most beautiful person in the world. Maybe you are. I don't know, you know, in the eyes of somebody. In the eyes of somebody, you are. You're the prettiest. You're the most handsome. You're the most wonderful. In the eyes of your mother, you're the best that there ever was, right? Our mothers always thought that about us. I know she thought that about me. And I was. You know. Can't deny that. But the Lord shows His patience towards us. You know what that's called? Mercy. Mercy. Have you been perfect? Now, in a spiritual sense, theological, let me say this. In a theological discussion, yes, you were perfect from the day that you were saved. I understand that, okay? But let me rephrase it then, because some of you will get on me later. And we've been perfect since we got saved. I understand that theologically, biblically, we understand that. But did you ever sin after you got saved? That's what I'm trying to ask. Have you ever sinned afterwards? God had a right to take you off this planet the moment you sinned after He saved you, but He didn't. Some of you have been saved for a long time. I mean, I've been saved for a long time, 49 years. God should have, could have, and should have taken me a long time ago, because I haven't always been, you know, the most upright Christian that you would think that maybe I was or maybe you were, right? Aren't you glad for His patience? Thank God for that. That shows us the mercy of God. And so Bartimaeus was just simply saying in that verse, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. That's what a lost person would ask God. God, have mercy on me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what the publican prayed in Luke 18. That's what so many countless people around the world pray that same or similar prayer, simply asking for God's mercy upon them. That's what Bartimaeus needed. That's what Zacchaeus needed. That's what you and I need or needed. And if you're lost here today, that's what you need. You need the mercy of God. You need His mercy. Bartimaeus also asked the right person in verse 48. He asked Jesus in verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. See, Bartimaeus even knew who Jesus was. He wasn't only from Nazareth, he was the son of David, which made him the son of God. So Bartimaeus was recognizing the fact of who Jesus Christ was. And again, he says, have mercy on me. So he's asking Jesus Christ to have mercy on him. He was asking the right person. Again, the church can't save you. Pastor Fenton or any priest or pope or pastor anywhere or missionary, as good as they might be, can't save you. You have to go to the right person. That's Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 4:12 says. One name under heaven, one name, it's Jesus Christ. He is the only hope for the entire world. He's the only hope for America. He's the only hope for you or me. He's our only hope for all of us. Specifically, if you're not saved, He is your only hope. He is the one that you call upon. Lord, have mercy on me. He's the one. He's the one that died for you. Nobody else died for you but Jesus. Christ died for you. 1 John, look at 1 John 5:11. 1 John 5:11. 1 John 5:11. 1 John 5:11 says, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His church? No, His Son. And then in verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. One of those little verses in the Bible that have one syllable words in it that anybody can understand. The less syllables, the easier to understand the word, right? Amen. This is one of those verses in verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You can't get it any simpler than that. Anybody can understand that. But it's the Son, capital S-O-N. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives you the eternal life. Nobody else. John chapter 3 in verse 36. John 3:36. John 3 in verse 36. He that believeth on the Son, capital S-O-N, hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Where does salvation come from? It comes from Jesus Christ. No other place. No other individual. It's from the Son. You have to believe on the Son. Bartimaeus believed on the Son. He believed on the Son of David, which made him the Son of God, and he was believing on the right person. He was putting his trust and faith in Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said himself, he is the only way, he is the only truth, he is the only life. There is no other hope for anybody. There's no other hope for you if you're not saved. It's God have mercy on me. Jesus have mercy on me. That's where you get your mercy from. Bartimaeus asked at the right time. He didn't wait. He didn't say, well, you know, maybe Jesus will pass by next week. I'll wait. I'll give it a week. I got to think about this. Oh, I don't know if I can make that decision today. How many people have said that? Oh, I don't know if I can do that right now. What do you mean? Why can't you do it right now? Are you under, you can tell they're under conviction. If they're under conviction, they can do it right now. They can get saved right now if they're under conviction. But so many times people do. They're still blinded and they haven't realized that it's Christ that can save them right now. They don't think that they could lose their life within the next day or the next week. So many times people say, I'm just not ready right now. I've heard that countless times. I'm just not ready right now. Well, there's no other better time to be ready than right now. That's what the Bible teaches. That today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. N-O-W, now. Not next week. Bartimaeus didn't say, well, you know, maybe he'll come by next week. Maybe he'll come by the next time. You know that he may have never come by this time again? And I don't think he ever did. He was on his way to Jerusalem to go and die. He wasn't coming back through Jericho. This was it. This was his. And I don't know if Bartimaeus knew that or not. I don't think that Bartimaeus understood that this is Jesus on his way to go and die in Jerusalem. No, he just realized this was the right time. There's no better time than now. There's no better time than today. There is no better time than immediately. Bartimaeus asked at the right time. What if he said, no, you know what, I'll just wait. I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready to be saved yet. I'm not ready to change my poor begging life. He would have missed out on salvation. He would have missed out on Jesus because Jesus wasn't coming back. Now, maybe a disciple would have come back. Maybe there'd be somebody around that would be able to witness to him. Maybe Zacchaeus would go over and witness to him. Maybe Zacchaeus stole from him and made him a beggar. Who knows? Being a tax collector, that Zacchaeus was overall a bunch of tax collectors. I'm not saying that that's the case. But there's no, you can't sit around and saying, but what if? What if I wait? Or what if I'll just wait till I get a little bit older? I'll wait till I've lived my life and I'm old like Pastor Fenton. Then I'll get saved. Now, you may not make it this old. A lot of people don't make it this old. Now, this is old, I understand, but a lot of people don't make it 66. Some people go way beyond, but he asked at the right time. He didn't wait. He figured this was his only opportunity, and that's the thought that I want to leave you with right now. This may be your only opportunity. This may be it. This is it. You're at the right place at the right time. Jesus Christ is willing and ready to save you. Maybe you're listening out there in Facebook land beyond these walls. This may be the only time that you'll ever have. You might say, well, I'll listen next week and I'll do this next week. You may not make it to next week. You have no guarantee that you're going to make it to next week. You have no guarantee you're going to make it to tomorrow. Please understand that mercy is needed and mercy was asked. Mercy was requested. Bartimaeus begged for mercy. How important is that? That's probably, if you're not saved, not probably, if you're not saved, that's what you have to do. You have to ask God for His mercy. Amen. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to save you if you're willing to be saved. But you got to be willing to be saved. Bartimaeus was an outstanding example of a poor beggar, blind spiritually, a beggar, poor spiritually, let alone physically. But he was at the right place at the right time, and he called out for mercy at the right place in the right time. And you know what? Jesus Christ gave him that mercy. Amen. We'll finish this message tonight. We'll look at the last two things, how mercy was offered and how mercy was enjoyed. Some Christians that can't enjoy their Christianity is just beyond me. You can enjoy your Christianity. You say, well, I can't do the things I used to do. Thank God for that. Amen. Let me rephrase it. You can do those things that you used to do, but you shouldn't want to do those things that you used to do. You can still do them. It's not recommended. It's not something that you should be doing. You shouldn't, when you get saved, there ought to be a want to change your life. Not to live the same old way that you used to live, way back, whatever you used to do. That's between you and God. You know exactly what you used to do. But there should be a desire to change your ways and to change your habits and to change your life and to get into the spiritual aspect of living. And not just the physical aspect of living. We all do that. We live physically. But living spiritually is a whole different realm. It's a whole different level. It's a whole different thought to live spiritually. A lot of Christians still living in the physical aspect of everything, but they're not living spiritually. They're missing out on so much that God could bless them with, so much that God could use them for. But they just want to live in the physical life, enjoy the physical life. You know, hey, I'm going to heaven. Thank God for that. I'm not going to hell. And just, you know, live their life the way that they want to live it without ever thinking about anything spiritual or Bible or prayer or church attendance or whatever. How sad that is. But we'll see tonight. We're going to talk tonight about how Bartimaeus not only requested and answered the offer that was given to him, but he enjoyed it too. He enjoyed His merciful life. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together here today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, again for the story about Bartimaeus. We thank you, Lord, that you were there at the right time, at the right place. Lord, that's the reason that you went to Jericho, was to save Bartimaeus and save that other blind man.